Wisconsin Philharmonic in Waukesha, and Keith is the first reader.
The Education Committee of the Wisconsin Philharmonic serves local schools, and they have master classes with professional musicians. It includes major classics for minors where they get to go into schools free of charge, and they demonstrate the instruments and orchestral music. And they also have an instrument petting zoo. But this year, the difference is from what's been done in the past. This year, they hope to expand upon the program by partnering with other local music nonprofits like El Sistema, I think it is. So it's done over the school year and also over the summer. So they're expanding that. They're also doing a behind-the-scenes coordinated with a family concert. They're going to go and present at the 10 highest needs school in Waukesha. My general feeling of it, although I think the merits are high, I don't really see any creativity or innovation. It's something that they've been doing all along, and it's something that these types of organizations engage in. They're asking for half of their total budget, total amount allowed, $3,000 has been requested for it. So the expansion is new, but I didn't think it was really clear what evaluation had been done previously, so it's just an expansion of a current program that's already in place.
One question that I had too is, I think they were expanding to 10 schools, but I think there's 12 in Waukesha.
I thought that was kind of weird too.
Are you, like,
we're going to exclude these two, right?
Exclude these, I mean, are those, like,
ones? Well, that's interesting. Yeah.
I question why you do, like, 90% and not those two. Are those ones, well, your schools, they didn't feel needed it, or... Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. That just kind of stood out.
Just 12 schools in Waukesha?
What,
they're just 12 schools in Waukesha?
I guess so. Wow. And that they were going to focus on 10 of them, which seemed interesting to me. Maybe do 6 or 12, or I'm not sure. Yeah, I also felt that it wasn't incredibly innovative, but a good program.
Right.
Certainly.
I like the idea of a musical petting zoo just because of this. In a lot of schools, the students don't have access to different instruments and know that they might or may not be or interested and have the skill to play certain instruments. So I really like that idea, but this is very similar to the piano one, where it's very much focused, and while it's working within 12 schools, it's not engaging with the community, it's not reaching they're working with El Sistema, so they're trying to it's going to try to expand the cultural aspects of the program as well. I don't know, it just feels like there were some gaps in the design of the program.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of great benefits, but it could be developed just a little bit more, to be a little bit more inclusive.
I also wondered, it said that they would be working with teachers throughout the summer to plan for next school year, but there weren't any statements or letters of support from any teachers, so I'm wondering, do they already have those connections made, and will teachers be willing to do that during the summer months if they're not contracted or if they're already working on other initiatives? Is that an assumed
or
partnership? Or yeah.
Which is also often assumed.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So I have a general question for everyone. How does, and for you, if you can, using surveys, because when I was going through these applications, what sort of data do you get from surveys that is beneficial to understanding for future planning, besides whether or not someone or student felt good or bad about the program, right? So you do want the story, because the surveys provide really great, amazing stories. But in terms of numerical data and, like, real facts, how do surveys play into that with these kinds of programs?
That's a great question.
I'll let you all take really this first. I would say what I've seen that seems strongest are sort of pre- and post-surveys, where there's really something to measure there, okay, versus good feelings, bad feelings, right, you know. That's where they've been. But you have to really know what you're measuring.
Right.
So a general survey, have you all had,
difficult,
you know, Disney Museum do surveys in that way?
We're right now redesigning all of our surveys because the data we collect doesn't really, it's not measured. There's not much that we can do from it other than we know who we're connecting with in the community, which is a good thing.
Right.
But as long as the questions are designed in a way to collect the information that you want to collect and that you can use in the future,
mm-hmm,
and then comparing it every year. So if something changed next year, I want to change something because this didn't, you know, maybe we added this new component and we don't know how it turned out. And so they can provide feedback on how their session went.
So for good results to come from a survey, surveys actually need to be rigorous. Like, they need to be kept track of, they need to be post and pre, like,
yeah,
you need to have consistent evaluation and consistent progress of your program,
mm-hmm,
to actually have some kind of substantial report on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not meaningful if you don't do much with it.
Right. Yeah. If you're just, mm-hmm, yeah,
taking it.
Okay.
And it's not meaningful if you don't do it at every touch point, like at the beginning and then at the end. Yeah. And continue doing it. Yeah.
And if what you're measuring is not, then you don't, you know, reflect on that and then put that back into the programming, any feedback that you receive.
Right.
If it's just sort of, yes, enjoyed it this age. You know, it's
yeah,
helpful to know the age of the, you know, folks that you're serving and sort of demographic information, but I think that quality-wise should be more to it than that.
And do we then find
evaluation
that organizations can, like for evaluations, many of these organizations said that they were going to provide surveys, but then, so is that, this might sound really bad, but is that sort of a cop-out answer for evaluation for organizations?
We'll figure it out later.
Okay.
Some of them I've seen in the past, and, you know, if it's whether their work samples include or support materials include past evaluation methods that they've used.
Okay.
And you know, that would be a strong work sample. If they mention surveys and there's, they say surveys and there's nothing, I think that you can think about that in terms of the evaluation criteria.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Score accordingly. And make a note to say, you know.
Okay.
Could have used stronger evaluation methods.
Okay.
Examples of those.
This might be slight side answer if I can jump in for a second.
Mm-hmm.
For the program that I run, one area where we collect data is, and it's been optional at this point, but age ranges,
mm-hmm,
which is good for us for grant purposes. But historically, our participants are like 65 plus,
mm-hmm,
and maybe don't want to put, you know, 77
plus
years old.
Yeah.
So we're moving towards, because you can be 14 to start participating in RAP. So we're going to do required age categories. So you have to like tell us your exact age, but you have 5 categories in which you can be in.
Yeah. Okay,
sort of
to ask the question. Yeah.
Thank you.
And they have to report at the end, don't they? So that all of that data should be
collected
and shown back to the Wisconsin Arts
right
Board,
mm-hmm,
what they collect. Yeah.
So okay.
And,
yeah,
and one would think in a helpful manner too
that we can understand that evaluation. It's not just
distilled, not just here are all the
emails. Not
right,
just raw data, but
right.
We don't want all your evaluation forms. That's not what we want.
86%.
Don't mail those to us.
Oh.
Yeah. No.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a great question.